On Friday evening, Karen and I popped down to the New Westminster Quay, which is just a few minutes from our home. It's kind of like most of you get a chance to just pop out to the Dyke Trail or other great places to walk. If you remember Friday, it was sunny and warm and beautiful. And we enjoyed our dinner right on the boardwalk on one of the picnic tables there. It felt like the whole town had suddenly come out of hibernation. The boardwalk was full of people. Did you experience that in the last couple days? If you were out in a park or on a walk, we all came out, didn't we? There were so many folks walking up and down the boardwalk. There were kids playing and toddlers toddling and young adults walking with their friends and runners running with their dogs, dogs walking with their people. And we even bumped into one of our dear friends and got caught up with each other. It was great. The tulips and the cherry blossoms and many other flowers are in full bloom. I noticed it again as I drove here this morning. The tulips are at their height, right? And at least the darker cherry blossoms are now having their turn. Gorgeous. The earth and its creatures are coming alive in our annual resurrection time. At least in the northern hemisphere. So, of course, this is the season for us to share stories of resurrection. So today we do a quick rewind from the stories that we've been talking about lately. And we come to the story that actually foreshadowed Jesus' resurrection at Easter. We revisit the story of Jesus' friend Lazarus. As we come to this story, we've already heard that Lazarus has died. The illness was horrible, the suffering was long, and Lazarus' sisters and all of their friends gathered there with them are weeping. And Jesus' first response to that, as he begins to talk with both Martha and Mary, is empathy and compassion of being there with them. He's trying to reassure them about what is about to happen, but the text says that he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. Jesus feels the pain of the mourners deep within, and he weeps with them. Some of us grew up knowing that this is the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Jesus cried. So if we ever wonder where God is in the midst of suffering and pain and evil in our world, we know that God is there feeling that pain with us. God is there crying along with us. When the cancer diagnosis comes back positive, when the hurricanes tear apart homes, when people abuse their power and act with violence and fear and hatred, God is there weeping with us, crying at the presence of evil, suffering, and pain. And then, as he weeps, he asks, "Where have you laid him?" And they take him to the place. And as he approaches the place where we are hidden away, lifeless, defeated, and dead, he says, "Roll away the stone." And even after promising that we believe, that we trust in God, we resist, just like Mary. It's been too long. It's going to stink of death. We can't, we shouldn't disturb the dead. We can't change things. But Jesus persists. "Didn't I tell you that you would see the glory of God? So roll away the stone." They open the tomb in response to Jesus' assurance. And what does Jesus do next? As we heard Dorothy read in a loud voice, Jesus says, "Lazarus, come out." He calls Lazarus out of the tomb, out of death, out of darkness into light. He's alive. He's moving. But he's still encased, wrapped up in this shroud, the grave clothes, his cocoon. He's still covered from head to foot. And so what does Jesus say then? "Untie him. Let him go. Set him free." This is one of the spots, as I said earlier, where our metaphor of the emerging butterfly doesn't work. Butterflies need to emerge on their own. It's what they're supposed to do, but not Lazarus and not us. When the Lord of creation calls us out of our tombs, calls us forth from the place of death, we need each other to untie us, to set us free. And when Lazarus emerges, it was Lazarus' family and friends who hear Jesus' command and take off the funeral cloths, untie him, and take away the trappings of death and defeat. And even before that, it was Lazarus' community who rolled away the stone. Our culture still tends to glorify the self-made man. But the truth is, there is no such thing as a self-made anyone. None of our success, even the most remarkable of solitary achievements, is not accomplished alone. Never. Least of all, our emergence from the grave, our coming out of the tomb of our existence, our new life, our transformation, our emergence. That only happens with the love and support of others. And honestly, I cannot imagine a more compelling image for what the church, that's us, is supposed to be, than stone rollers and shroud unwrappers. What would it be like if we dedicated ourselves to removing the barriers to people's emergence into new life? What would it look like if instead of spending our energy burying people under the dirt and rock of unhealthy dogma or soul-destroying judgment or archaic cultural expectations, we actually followed those two commands of Jesus? Roll away the stone and untie the grave cloths and set them free. I've asked a few folks to help us today with an illustration that I need to give credit. It was developed by my wife years ago, and happy to share it in a new way today. So I'm going to ask Bruce Marshall to come forward. Bruce is going to be our metaphorical Lazarus.
Imagine with us,
as we hear from different voices, I'm a really healthy and active person, but I got cancer anyway. I'm not sure the chemotherapy is working. My friends keep trying to cheer me up by changing the subject. I'm feeling afraid and alone.
I remember my Sunday school teacher saying that God sees everything bad we do and keeps track of our sins. I got so worried about going to hell.
When I was in grade 6 and our class was preparing to perform a song for a concert, the teacher said that I should just pretend to sing.
When I came home with my math test that I got 95% on, my dad asked me, "Why didn't I get 100%?
When I was young, I was really active and rambunctious, and my sister was more quiet and calm. My mom used to say, "Why can't you be more like your sister?"
In high school, I had trouble keeping up in my classes, even though I was really trying. I found out later, after I grew up, that I had ADHD, but some of my teachers always used to say I was smart and I just needed to try harder.
my friend told me that I should stop talking about the problems in my marriage. She said that rehashing the past only magnified the problems and made me more unhappy. She didn't want to listen.
I worked hard at my job, but I got laid off anyway. And then we couldn't afford the rent.
My friends made up a roster, and they filled our freezer with meals and snacks. They took walks with me as I recovered from chemotherapy, and we had coffee sometimes, and they really listened when I needed to talk about my illness. I'm still sick. But I'm not alone, and I'm learning to live with cancer.
In youth group, our leader said that there's nothing we can do to stop God from loving us, and that Jesus has a special job for me to care for and serve others. I'm part of the peer counseling program at school, and I help other kids who have anxiety and depression.
I kept singing anyway, and I joined the community choir and my church choir. I love singing.
My grandma saw my math test, and she was so proud of me that she wanted to take a picture and post it on Facebook.
A lady at church told me that she loves it when I dance during the hymns, and that seeing me always cheers her up.
Even though I had trouble reading, I found out I was good at problem solving, and I got accepted into the engineering program.
One day, I was talking to my neighbor, and I ended up telling her about how my husband treated me. She was a great listener and didn't try to tell me what to do. I didn't feel so alone.
When I lost my job, we had to move to a smaller place. But we got some help, including some meals from a couple of local churches. I got into a training program and I got a new job. So it's looking a bit better.
Yes. You want to spread your wings, don't you? Thank you very much, all of you, and especially Lazarus. Let's just ask him, how do you feel?
I feel like I have new life.
And that's not scripted, by the way. Just repeat it for us.
Well, it was heavy in there.
Mm-hmm. I bet you do.
Rebirth.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, just to be clear, we are all playing characters. But hopefully they might have stirred up in you thoughts of things that you've heard or experienced that cover us, that suffocate us, that make us feel like we're dying, that make us feel alone and isolated. There are a lot of things in our lives from the very beginning to the very end that can contribute to our entombment, our feeling buried, and there are many things that we can do for each other. Sometimes they're as simple and as important and as difficult as listening. As walking with. We can unwrap the shroud for each other. Jesus said, untie him and set him free. Friends, let us become for us, for each other, for our community and our world, agents of resurrection, untiers of shrouds, rollers of stones. Amen.